to a degree.
Yeah.
To the degree that we're rolling tape now, so we're not going to say anything out of line.
Okay. I am hearing.
Oh, you mean like I said earlier?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
it's
that's just the
all of the
gotcha.
The amp, whatever.
Hey. That's what you get.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
There's a bunch of sound power.
It's the Sound Guy Podcast.
And that's the beginning of the episode.
Of course.
Yeah.
How we
right there, yeah. I can cut from there. So, what's up? What's everyone doing?
Well, first of all, I'm really excited about this episode. One, first round table.
Mm-hmm.
Two, finally got Guardo in the room.
Finally got me here.
And we've never done more than a pair of hosts.
Yeah.
So now we have our first group session. Woo!
Yeah.
So, JJ to my left.
Hello, everybody.
Cam directly across.
So you can see us mentally.
The Guardo himself.
I'm here, right,
my literal right-hand man today.
Yeah.
And myself, of course. And so here we are, the Sound Guy Podcast, episode 5 of season 2.
Okay. We're that far?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're that far. And it should be a lot farther.
Yet. Hopefully you haven't learned anything yet.
I have not learned a thing.
Yeah, me neither.
I've learned that I should not sit in rooms with any of you three. So I decided I'd sit in a room with all three of you.
There you go.
At once.
But it will not be a roast of Dwayne Greenhill today.
No. No.
We're going to talk about gear.
That's the name of the episode.
We're going to roast all the tours.
See,
and
Dwayne wants to talk about gear, but me and JJ are the only ones that know anything about gear.
Right, that's why we want to talk to y'all about it, because I'm tired of the same conversation coming up. Because when I do talk to a few people that have listened to our first season, it's like that's their knowledge base is the X32, and that's what we talk about for the whole first season, eight or nine episodes.
Me and JJ could probably sit here and nerd out on gear for a couple hours.
We'll get there. So I'll segue into all that with JJ wants reverb.
No, I hear reverb.
Oh,
there might be a little.
Okay,
I can go.
It sounds like
I can live with it. It's all good.
Sounds like
you're the only one that hears
Ryan
it.
Seacrest's show.
Do you? We're gonna take a poll right now. Go ahead and vote in your head, real quick. Do you want us to hear us with reverb or no? All right, thank you.
Yeah, I don't care.
All right, so
JJ's still hearing the tail from that question.
Yeah,
it's annoying.
It's all good.
Is it going to throw you off?
No, I'm just fine. Right, I don't hear it on my voice. I think
it's on
just
mine?
On, yeah, it's on yours or Cam's.
Cool. All right, so while Cam goes and looks for that, we'll continue.
I should have just used cans.
So I introduced Guardo to the rabbit hole that is Atmos.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yesterday.
Fun. It's pretty fun.
So you were the first person to make me pay attention to it. And now it's everywhere that I turn.
Well, yeah, immersion is taking over all of the aspects.
Well,
of
I dismissed it like surround sound, but then I saw a video when I was showing it to him. He actually pulled up a video where they were sitting in a studio doing something like this, and the guy said, surround sound got ignored. He got it.
Yep.
Surround sound got ignored because you had to have a room equipped with the 5.1
with the red equipment,
systems. And it all had to be integrated to your DVD player and all this kind of shit. And that's not the case with Atmos because we're in a headphone culture.
Or phone or iPad.
And
like,
that's when it clicked for me.
I could hear it coming out of my phone.
That even though that all the studios that are going Atmos are going with like 30-point 3D fields with like speakers in the roof and stuff.
Yeah.
Is that going to be necessary for very long with having earbuds being a binaural, and that's actually the term
that's
used
the term
in the video, binaural experience?
I mean, they're doing these silent disco things now that are just crazy to
but
see.
But I did the phone thing with him.
Yeah.
I said, watch this video with your phone and you will hear it wrapping around your face.
Right. It's
coming out
crazy.
Of my phone speakers.
How?
Yeah.
How? So it doesn't matter how. We're there. So with that, there's a goggle experience and now there's LED wall and ceiling fixtures available to the public.
Yeah.
Where you can equip a room in your house to be an actual Star Trek holodeck. Mm-hmm. A holodeck. That was the name of my first studio.
That Apple, the new Apple VR thing. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
That's fucking...
Yeah, and
whoa.
That's what I'm saying.
Whoa.
So, it begs the question, where can it go?
To the moon.
Yeah,
I want to know, can we just set up a bunch of delay towers in a stadium and mix that way live? That's what I want to do.
So your delays actually throw over the crowd with a laser? Because you can do a 3D laser show over a crowd now.
Yeah.
That's old tech.
Oh, yeah, they have the drones
that
can do
new.
The lights and
so,
do like 3D.
Well, technically, they wouldn't be delay towers. They'd be surround towers,
right?
I guess.
Right. So
they actively do surround mixes, like especially Broadway.
Yeah.
Even when they come, like they'll put up speakers.
Theater and stuff, yeah.
So they already do that in a live experience.
Yeah,
mixing just not in a rock and roll experience.
Well, in theater and stuff, they're not actually doing it surround. They're just putting certain things in certain places. It's not, I wouldn't call it surround, but I guess you could call it that because they're putting certain people's vocals in certain places. I mean, it's not... it's not a quote unquote surround thing.
Yeah, it's gotten pretty crazy, man. They
yeah,
run
go
all
into
kinds
it.
Of,
enlighten
I mean,
us,
so
I don't
you
shit.
Know, I just host these guys mixing it, but they, you know, they'll put up a dozen or so speakers aside from the main hangs,
right?
And like our place has a delay rig for the balcony rail.
Yeah.
But they'll put up another dozen or so speakers around the sides and backs.
Yeah.
Of them, and there's effects and instruments and all kinds
of
things.
Okay,
okay.
Then, I mean, they're mixing around
it. It's insane, man. And they're great at what they do. Those sound designers are crazy good.
Those guys are insane.
Yeah.
So, what consoles are they using that are equipped with that kind of?
I'm seeing mostly Digicos.
Right.
Yeah.
With the joystick.
Yeah.
And they can actually pull up like a 3D, like you do with the lighting with the Grandma 2 stuff
or
whatever.
Yeah. I mean, most of the consoles have that kind of capability now,
right?
You know,
even the first Digicos, like my D1 has a little joystick for mixing surround.
Yeah,
right. Mm. That's cool. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
So far over my head, I can't even. So, but what I'm saying is, how would that experience translate to the consumer with the Atmos post-production technology and this LED room environment or the goggle environment?
Because
that's where we're going.
Yeah.
We're going into a three-dimensional experience.
Yeah, I would say like pay whatever you wanted to pay, like a subscription thing, and basically walk into whatever concert you ever wanted to see throughout history, basically.
Mm-hmm. So do you walk into the audience or do you walk on stage?
Probably choice. Yeah.
How cool would that be to walk on stage with like...
Yeah, I mean, if there was just like 50 people that just walked around the show at all times and you could just choose where you're at. You could be VIP.
Oh,
that's
a good idea too.
You know?
Where you could choose your perspective like a video game.
And do it like they have, so for like real estate, they have it where they can scan the whole house.
That's what
we talked about this yesterday. All right, cool, perfect.
So
go.
When we were at the big studio, we were working on VR and AR.
Okay.
And at that, we were like getting into where even the cell phones, you could just walk around. I could scan this room.
Yeah.
But then make turn, and we were talking about turning that into a
like a virtual,
a non-fundable NFT. I forgot what they were called
NFT.
It's so long.
Okay.
I haven't thought about them, but an NFT. And
yeah,
you
where
know,
did that
so,
go?
So you, right, I mean, it's just kind of like a dead art that went up. Well, I mean, it's because the cost of mining Bitcoin and all that is expensive.
Oh, okay. Geez.
Anyway, so go.
Anyway, yeah.
So staying on topic with your last big space, you guys could scan the room.
We could scan the room, and so working with both of that technology, you scan the room, and you're able to, you know, walk through any house that you want to, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
I've seen those, right.
And you just mix that to fill in the gaps of you know, especially if it was able to record that live and emit that kind of like in a live way, but you're able to scan the room, scan the area, have those scanners put out, then you have however many people walking around also experiencing and hanging out with people and doing whatever behind the stage, you know, snorting coke with the
I'm not talking about a meta experience, like a backstage access type experience. What I'm talking about is taking some old footage of the Doors and putting that in a 3D environment where the consumer could walk onto that stage and be on the stage
almost,
with the Doors.
Almost in a room like we're in now.
And
like,
be able to walk around Jim Morrison.
That is a...
Be able to walk around...
That is exactly... You would have to... It'd have to be...
But not with other people present where you could interact. I'm saying...
Yeah, I know. It was separate from like a regular whatever concert.
He was talking about like they would literally have to film a person in all these different places you wanted to be, and you step into that where that
like
person...
avatars that you choose perspectives.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And really, I mean, just having that many perspectives would kind of like all gathering all that information at one time, and then like creating a 3D world for someone to now walk around. You know what I mean? You have all those perspectives and angles going on all at the same time. But anyway, for what you're talking about, it would have to be digitally created.
Well,
it was some so, other, so no matter what, it would never be able to like take that 2D image and like really turn it 3D. You'd have to admit the other parts would be like CG. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you'd need, it would all have to be redone.
But a lot
CG,
of those have multi-camera angles where there is an angle from backstage looking out to his ass, and so that they've got the back of him.
Yes, and that's for a reference though. That would just be for reference,
right? And then they could have CG an AI still. That. Takes that and finishes it.
Basically, yeah.
You're right. I totally forgot about AI existing. We don't even need to worry about anything anymore. We're just going to be dead in a couple of years, so I don't even know why we're talking about anything.
We just have to tell it, hey, we want this, and it'll go... Okay.
Well, there's already technology that does that, that creates a 3D image.
Yes,
and there's
like
already
tech... The DAT, you know... You can
right.
Like,
and also, your you mentioned...
Our phones do that.
You mentioned the... Real estate agents having a 3D tour.
Yeah.
Facebook, I've seen where just my friends post of something, and then when I hold my phone a certain way, the perspective of their picture changes and widens, right? So we discussed that. I text JJ about it as Guardo was leaving the store. I was like on this shit yesterday. So my buddy Rob has a 3D camera that sits on the floor and films above itself and all the way around. So we could have a central perspective of a stage and film a band live, like a grilled cheese show.
Yeah.
And then have a drone that would be able to go around the band up.
Yep.
And then have camera straight above them and a camera out front.
And then two cameras out front.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... Then we would be able to stream a three-dimensional world perspective.
Yeah.
With that kind of technology.
3D sound on top of that.
So with Atmos applied to that many cameras in a three-dimensional, theoretically... JJ's over there.
I think it's going to take a whole lot of mics to do it, right?
I can see the math
going. That would take some
programming. He's looking down. Anytime JJ's looking down, he's looking at a fucking input list or some kind of 3D fucking image in his head of his room. Because I've seen the fucking software that he uses to do it. It's pretty awesome.
I think that would take a lot of microphones.
I think it's going to take
a lot of but isn't there the speakers that
can... There would be so many reference points.
Yeah,
well, I know, but isn't there speakers that can send out just the lasers and kind of grid out the whole room?
Yeah,
I
mean, you're talking about like Smart Live, yeah.
Can you not, could that not be like used in the same way to figure out this is the best point to receive?
That's actually what we were just talking about. Like, there's a reference point. Every microphone, the microphone reference point for that software.
Got you.
You would have to do that in a thousand different places.
Yes, got you. Wow, yeah. That sounds like a pain in the
basically
ass.
Taking a snapshot of the sound in that spot.
If you got paid, right?
Or you have a perfect environment.
Yeah.
Okay. So then that sounds like...
That sounds like it doesn't exist. That's the problem.
It's pretty difficult to achieve. I mean, there's...
It exists. Yeah, so here's the thing. Here's the thing.
The anabolic
chamber of Meyer sound. It's inevitably going to happen.
Everything I'm talking about, all the fantasy stuff.
You're going, because the gaming world has already done it. Mm-hmm. You look up, you look down, you look left, you look right, you hear a bird fly across behind you.
That stuff's so crazy.
You see it disappear behind you. You have peripheral 360 degrees.
I mean,
around
the
your
video
face.
Games now is actually the guy
so
being videotaped in that ball suit thing, like,
right?
The actors in video games are actually actors now,
right?
That are doing these things.
And the graphics look like the fucking ball players, bro.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy shit. So it's going to happen. So here's where my head is with it. You go to a show, you pick your perspective. When you turn your head to see it, the audio in the Atmos changes the perspective with you, right? So the whole concert stage would turn... to your right ear if you look to your left.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And
your audience would move
to the back of you, to the your left ear, right? Or vice versa, like the gaming world is already doing.
Mm-hmm.
Except that either it's a pre-production that has 1,000 microphones and a bunch of drones and all this.
I see it going a different way. I think that it can be used in a way to expand upon the music experience, such as effects moving behind you and all of that stuff moving.
That part's kind of easy.
But to change the way you're hearing a concert based on the way you move
your head. That's some next level shit to what I'm talking about.
I don't think it's necessary.
It's not necessary, but it would be a meta experience. What? Am I too loud? It would be a meta experience.
I may get crucified for saying this, but I mean, video games aren't necessary.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, for it to be...
It is the most... The biggest, like, I mean, out of any media, it makes the most money.
I'm saying, I only see that as being facetious.
I'm just saying, as far as something being necessary.
But what I'm trying to say is, for it to be a true meta experience, for lack of a better term, that's the term they're trying to get the replacement, the Matrix experience.
That's the only purpose I see for moving, that would be the purpose. And it working.
That would be the purpose.
But
if I look left, I don't want to look left and still hear what's
my binaural experience is still exactly the same when I turn my head.
Right.
Where if
so
I was at a concert and turned my head,
so
I would
I'm not
be hearing
saying
something
that
different.
It has to happen at first,
right?
But at some point, not only will that be a reality, hold on. But
yeah, just let him get it out.
Being able to stream the experience live while a band is on stage will be
me and JJ have known for a long time. Just let him get it out.
Well, I mean, this is what we talked about yesterday.
I know.
So the experience would be not a pre-recorded experience that was put together in post-production and perfected, but it would actually be
live happening.
A 3D drone and 3D camera on the stage, and then the band would be virtually in front of you on the goggles and the headphones, or there, you know, the technology is already there. Guardo and I talked about yesterday the holograms that have already gone on tour. Tupac has already toured as a hologram,
Michael
3D
Jackson
hologram on stage, and Dio,
Michael Jackson,
okay,
has been on
so
tour again. I think
that's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even news.
Mm-hmm.
And so to experience that live, say, like Metallica's going into theaters and they're going to stream to a bunch of movie theaters. That's dope. But what if you had that 3D projector where it projected them while they performed in a space that you had designed for that?
That would be great. But why would you change your perspective of the listening environment?
Maybe I'm talking about different things.
Unless you're doing something where you're walking around a stage and you're trying to isolate.
Well, I was just going to say that you would probably only need to really get a couple of reference videos and experiences like that to be able to decide. You know, you wouldn't need, you know what I mean? Just face a mic towards the crowd, or, you know what I mean,
stereo.
At the both ways.
And we can put them where we want.
And then
the
you
mix.
Just, and then, you know what I mean? But this wouldn't be for like necessarily a live experience, really, but it would be for like the edited experience.
Right. Because every time you change camera, the perspective's got to change.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
you're doing stuff like that, it
right.
would. Yeah, like, it would be crazy.
I mean, it would be crazy.
It would be
a lot, but I think about that too, you know, like where the placement is when we do these bands. It's like, I can't just, you know, we talked about it. It's like when we first did it, he had Tom's panned, you know, a good bit far to the side, and it was would be whatever if it was a whatever recording, but like visualizing it, you know, you see it's like the toms, and they don't feel like they're
right.
Over they're not. Here they're not way hard left and right. Yeah, I mean, if you pan them, you pan them. I don't know, 10-20%. You know.
And just ended up, you know what I mean? It's just like a, it's just seeing where, you know, like looking at that room and kind of deciding what things are where. You know, you don't need to have the second guitarist that's in the back. You know what I mean? It just wouldn't be as loud. And does that affect, and I'm only saying that as I think about it, is like, how is that affecting my, like, experience of also watching it? You know, I'm watching.
Are you talking
it.
About from a stage, a front row perspective of a stage now?
Yes, from our, you know, from the
stereo,
the videos stereo that rig. We do. Yeah, right. You know, okay. You know, you watching the band, you want to feel like you're there watching the band for right. our videos, and that's kind of how we want it to be.
So it's, the guy singing on the left side
is a little bit left. Over there. Yeah, and just a little, you know, and really live, it would all be kind of coming straight at you anyway. But you know, just for a little bit of reference, you know.
Well, even in a regular PA rig, there's a certain stereo field that you want. I know you don't, and I wouldn't be panning things just to pan them. I pan them to have space for them in the mix. Like, they're not panned just to hear
right.
shit on the right or left.
Yeah. Yeah. They're panned. I do that. If I have a keyboard player and a lead guitar player, or two guitar players and a keyboard player.
You need to separate
mm-hmm.
them spatially.
I'll move them a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't have like the rhythm guitar player in one speaker and
you wouldn't want to do that anyway.
But because then that guy on the side of the speaker is only going to hear that guy.
He's not going to hear it.
He's not going to hear the whole band. Yeah, so, but yeah, I do space them out so they don't muddy up the center mix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
and
I
then,
don't do it.
And then you get to do things like mixing in the round, because then your main quote unquote is left and right, but then you go to the side of that and then it's right left backwards. Because you want the right to be next to the left, so when you pan something, it's not. Yeah, in the round is really interesting to mix.
I've never
actually got to mix it, but I've
never even thought about it. But yeah, that makes total sense.
Think about having four PAs.
I would just put it all straight up.
You can't.
He's only standing on one side, so they shoot the room and make it sound as good as they can, and then he just uses his point of reference.
Yeah.
And they've usually, from what I've seen, the guys that have been doing it in the round also have near fields that they're
absolutely
working off of.
Absolutely.
Right. So
I'm just talking about physically when you look at the stereo spectrum of an in the round concert.
Right.
If the front of house, say, is the main PA.
Oh, I get it.
And then going around, the left and right actually goes backwards.
I do that with my outfills. I match my outfill
to the opposite
to the speaker that it's on. Right, like as a backwards from the opposite side of the stage.
Well, if you're looking at your
so
left,
so when I'm in a weird position from the outfill to the left main or right main rather, then I still hear it
as
a
left
stereo,
and right. It's
a
just
stereo
backwards
image, right? Right, I do that.
Okay.
It wasn't consciously to make it opposite of left and right. It was just to keep a stereo perspective in that corner
exactly.
of my building.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, I do the same thing. All right, so that sounds like a good place to stop for Atmos.
Mm-hmm.
We wrapped up our little Atmos conversation.
We could probably call that an episode, really. Just
yeah, was that 25, 30 minutes probably?
I can imagine somewhere.
All right. But then, yeah, and then we'll just do another sound guy by then.
Yeah.